Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply. Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Takes a shot, runs into the box, shot, score!
It's time for Atlanta Soccer Tonight.
Tune in as Jason Longshore gives you insight and analysis on the beautiful game, including headlines from around the world of soccer.
Rebound, score!
This is Atlanta Soccer Tonight, brought to you by Moe's Southwest Grill. Welcome to Moe's.
Atlanta Soccer Tonight is on Sports Radio 92.9, The Game. Here's Jason Longshore.
Let's kick it. Atlanta Soccer Tonight, live on 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app. I'm Jason Longshore, and this is your weekly show where we talk about soccer in Atlanta, in the state of Georgia, all over the Southeast, all over the country, all over the world. That's what we do on Atlanta Soccer Tonight on 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app. Make sure you're subscribed to Off the Woodwork, our podcast from 92.9 The Game. That's where you get all of the soccer content from the station. That's where you get full-time reports after Atlanta United matches, like last Saturday's match in Chicago. That's where you get interviews like today with Garth Lagerwey on Dukes and Bell. You'll get to hear all of our soccer content. You'll get everything on demand by subscribing to Off the Woodwork, wherever you get your podcast, or you can always get it on the Odyssey app. So we got a lot of things to talk about today. I'm actually out on the road in Peachtree City covering the Georgia High School state playoffs. We're into the quarterfinals. That's completed tonight on the boys' side. A lot of score updates for you. Had the pleasure of calling McIntosh and Dalton, two of the most decorated programs in the state of Georgia. McIntosh, 8 state championships. Dalton, 7 state championships. And it was McIntosh who won tonight. They go to 21-0 overall on the season. I said it earlier in the year, a game like tonight just kind of reinforces it. I think across all classifications, Dalton is the best team in the state of Georgia. Johnson Gainesville is not far behind. Those are the two best teams in the state from what I've seen. And look, I haven't seen everybody, but those are two teams that I've seen a few times and have been really impressed. It was a battle in Peachtree City tonight. McIntosh got the goal. They made it held up. They got the clean sheet against the Catamounts, and they get the win. We'll be talking about Georgia High School state playoffs. The finals are next week at multiple sites all over the state. Really looking forward to being a part of those broadcasts. But let's start with Atlanta United, because this is an interesting time for our Five Stripes. A scoreless draw in Chicago on the road. The clean sheet is very good. This is the best defense in Major League Soccer in terms of goals conceded. It's another clean sheet, and it was a clean sheet with a different center back pairing, your fourth and fifth center backs on the roster. Now, look, it's a little bit hard to say that because left-sided center backs are different than right-sided center backs. We'll get super specific. Your backup left-sided center back Luisa Brom, and your third right-sided center back in Efrain Morales, making his MLS debut. He had about 3 hours notice after Noah Cobb was not feeling well. They're going to get him checked out this week. He trained today. He trained all last week. If you remember, he came out of the Cincinnati game with a migraine, trained all last week leading up to the Chicago game, and the night before started to feel sick, started to really struggle, was trying to get through it, wanted to play. Gonzalo Pineda said he had to make the decision on what was best for Noah and what was best for the team, decided to go with Morales. Morales rewards him with a very good debut performance, nearly rewarded him with a winning goal very late, and I probably would have fallen out of the booth if Efra had put that one home. Good performance from him, good debut. So the clean sheet, great. I thought it was a pretty good overall defensive performance from Atlanta United. You look at Chicago's numbers and what they created, 10 shots, zero on target. Brad Guzan likes clean sheets where you don't have to actually make a save. 18 shot created actions for Chicago. The majority of those coming from the forward, Hugo Kuipers, 4 from Kellen Acosta, who came out in the 65th minute. Outside of that, no one contributed more than 2 shot-creating actions for Chicago. On the flip side for Atlanta, 29 shot-created actions. Thiago Almada with 11. That is one of the highest totals of the season in Major League Soccer this year. He had 0.4 on XG as well. Atlanta had 1.3 on XG to Chicago's 0.7, or 1.0, sorry, 1.3 to 1.0. Atlanta ended up with 18 shots, 5 on target, but no goals. The chances being created is a promising thing. That is a good thing if you are watching Atlanta United. This team should have scored goals in Chicago. They should have gotten 3 points. And that's the frustrating element to it because of what happened in the 2 previous home games. When you go from a 2-0 lead against Philadelphia to a 2-2 draw, when you go from a 1-0 lead against Cincinnati to a 2-1 loss, you start to feel a little bit of pressure on going out on the road and getting wins. Facts are, this is a very difficult league to do that in. Also, facts are Atlanta United hasn't done that very often in a while. They have not won in their last 10 on the road. They have gotten results in many games, but they have not gotten wins in many games. 4 wins in their last 30 on the road. Again, a lot of draws, which in general is okay. But we go back to those points dropped at home. Chance to get 6 points at home, leading positions in both games, and only 1 point comes out of it. It puts more pressure on the team to go on the road, especially against a team that you beat at home. That was a very winnable game on the road. The performance equaled a very winnable game on the road. It wasn't one, and it ends up as a draw. And Atlanta United is 3-3-3, about as even as it gets. Feels like this is a better team than 3-3-3. I think the talent is there to be a better team than 3-3-3, but the execution has to be there. And it hasn't been consistently enough. And that's what it comes down to for me. Now, are there reasons for some of that? Sure, there are. There have been injuries. There has been a lack of cohesion at times. I think we've seen this consistently over the past few years. You go back to the midway point of 2021 when Gonzalo Pineda took over. And when he has had a consistent group to work with for a period of time, this has been one of the better teams in Major League Soccer in his time here. When he's had injuries to deal with, the consistency and performance has not been there. And that is a struggle. And that's something that every coach deals with. And it's something that you have to find your way through, because ultimately the team is judged by results. It's not judged by the reasons for the results. You're judged by results. And this team has not had the results that I think they would say that they should have. I would say they should have more points. I think most people would say that. And now they've got to go get some, and they've got to get points in some difficult situations. And that starts on Saturday with Minnesota coming to town. Minnesota has been a good team this season. And yeah, I think if you haven't followed Minnesota closely over the years. You might remember some of the ups and downs, especially towards the end of the Adrian Heath era. But this is a Minnesota team. When you look at the overall table in MLS this season, they're sixth in the supporter shield race. They're 4 points behind Inter Miami. Now, they've played two less games than Inter Miami as well. They're 5-2-2 on the year. They've conceded 10 goals. They've scored 15. You look at recent form for Minnesota. They won at home 2-1 over Kansas City last weekend. They went to Charlotte and demolished Charlotte 3-0 the previous weekend. Then they lost at home before that to Houston. They drew with Salt Lake. They lost in Philadelphia. So three without a win, but now back-to-back wins for Minnesota. So what is the challenge this weekend for Atlanta United to improve as we kick around Atlanta United on Atlanta Soccer tonight on 92.9 The Game? I'm Jason Longshore. I think the left wing is what I just keep coming back to when we talk about this team. And mentioning the injuries and inconsistencies, I think the left wing has kind of encapsulated that. Sean De Silva was brought in on a permanent transfer in the offseason. I thought we saw some really good things from Sean Day last year. Thought we saw some performances where that quality dropped off. This year, it kind of started the same way. Then he got injured. Tyler Wolf has had opportunities on the left wing. Edwin Mosquera has had opportunities on the left wing. We've seen Sabo Lobgenidze move over to the left wing at times. We've seen Thiago Almada in games play on the left wing but cut inside. The left wing, the production there has not been good enough for this team. And it's holding the team back in a way, because you're asking Lobgenidze and Lennon to carry everything from the right. You're asking Thiago Almada to carry everything from the middle. I think the narratives about Thiago Almada being mediocre so far this season are completely incorrect. But has he produced at the level that we would expect him to? No. This is the thing about this game, and it's something that I think we have to keep in mind when we analyze this sort of stuff. Thiago Almada is doing a lot of things really well. I think he is very involved in this team. He's instrumental to the way the team builds up the play. He's dropped deep. I think he's put in a lot of good work on the defensive side of the ball. He should not be purely judged by goals and assists. He will be judged by goals and assists. We know that. That's how we go. We get into results, right? Talked about it earlier in terms of coaches. Results are what we're judged by. Teams are judged by results. Players are judged by production. Now, in some positions, that's difficult to really dig into that production, right? The defensive midfielder, a center back. What are you looking for? A number 10, you know what you're looking for. You're looking for goals and assists. And there has been a few. But there hasn't been as many as you would expect. And that's something that you want to see more of. And I think that really comes to the fore with the opportunity that Almada had in Chicago that he puts off the bar. That is a goal that is expected from a player like Thiago Almada. By the way, and look, this is, again, talking about quantifying things. When you dig into a site like SofaScore, which takes all the metrics that players produce in matches and creates a rating, their own rating, and it's based on the way that they see it. It's not a subjective thing. It's based off the numbers, but the way that they weight the numbers, it's a SofaScore internal formula. Christian Benteke heavily weights goals. He is the number one player in MLS, according to SofaScore, with a 7.95 rating out of 10. Luciano Acosta, second. Cristian Arango from RSL, third. Ricky Pooch, fourth. Evander, fifth. Thiago Almada, sixth. That's why I do push back on the idea that he has not been good for Atlanta United this season. Doesn't feel that way, and the numbers don't really show that outside of goals and assists. I think he's got more assists if Yorgos Giakoumakis isn't injured at points this season. These things where it's Shonde on the left and he gets hurt, and then you're trying to find the right player to take that spot. Somebody's got to step up and make that spot theirs, and they haven't done that. That affects Almada's numbers. Giakoumakis not being in the starting lineup consistently this season, that affects Almada's numbers as well. That affects him getting a goal and then kicking on and finding a second goal or creating an assist for somebody else. These are things that are factors in it. You've got to get more out of that left wing. You've got to keep Yorgos Giakoumakis healthy. The good thing is you're starting to get players back right now. Steon Gregerson trained with the team on the field today. He is a full participant in training now. He was not last week, although he did make the trip to Chicago. He was on the bench. Can he play a role on Saturday? If all goes well this week, you would expect him to be able to do that. Can Sean De Silva, he's close according to Gonzalo Pineda, can he get back for Saturday? And can he impact the game with what, however many minutes he's got? That's what you're looking for at this point. When a team's going through the stretch that Atlanta United's in, where the results haven't matched the performances, you're looking for impact from players. You have to get impact from the left wing, from Silva, from Wolf, from Mosquera, from somebody. You have to get that. And you got to get Yorgos Giakoumakis hitting on all cylinders. He looked a little rusty on Saturday in Chicago. You want to feed him. You want to get him going. Saturday, hosting Minnesota. Next Tuesday is the Lamar Hunt U.S. Open Cup, hosting the Charlotte Independents, who have been the kings of the penalty shootout in this competition and in the USL League One Cup as well. Charlotte has a goalkeeper in Austin Pack from Alpharetta, who has been a monster in penalty shootouts this season. You don't want to get into that kind of a situation with the Independents. You want to advance in that, but I would not be surprised if you see Saturday night a lineup and not many of those players factor in on Tuesday in the Open Cup, because then next Saturday, the following Saturday, you are at home to DC United. So all these games are in Atlanta, but you've got three games in a week and you're going to have to rotate your squad, reincorporate guys coming back from injury, and also get impact from players, whether that's Wolf, whether that's Silva, whether that's Mosquera on that left wing. You have to get some impact and ability to run in behind, stretching the game, creating more space for Almada, creating more space for Giakoumakis. Have to find production. The performances, the quality has been pretty good. It has not matched the results because the production has not matched the performances. That's got to change for Atlanta United, and we'll see if that starts on Saturday. Coming up next on Atlanta Soccer Tonight, we'll dig into some news from around Major League Soccer. We'll also, as we go tonight, we'll get you updated on the Georgia High School State Playoffs boys quarterfinals tonight. We've got results from all of the girls quarterfinals over the past couple of days. That's coming up on Atlanta Soccer Tonight. We'll be back in five on 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Back to more of Atlanta Soccer Tonight with Jason Longshore
on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Welcome back. Atlanta Soccer Tonight live on 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app. I'm Jason Longshore, and we've talked about Atlanta United. A couple more thoughts on that before we get into some news from around Major League Soccer. We'll also update you on all the scores that we have from tonight's Georgia High School action. Boys quarterfinals were tonight. Girls were split over the last 2 days. We know most of the semifinals, and maybe some scores have been reported since I last checked. We'll talk about that in the 3-4-3. But MLS, we're about a third of the way through the season. Teams have played anywhere between 9 and 11 games, almost a third of the way through. Talked about Atlanta United in Chicago, where it's a scoreless draw on the road, and normally draws on the road, especially when you get a clean sheet in that draw. There are some positives coming out of that, and I think with the center back pairing that Atlanta United lined up, getting that clean sheet, I don't want to say as a surprise, but it's something that you can take some pride in. The production is the missing element in this kind of a match, and it hasn't been missing all season long for Atlanta United. You do have games where goals do not fall. The reason I think this felt different is because of those two home games before, because what does it do? It changes the feel of things. It changes the momentum of the team. That can be a good and a bad thing. The team, I thought, and I talked a lot about this last week on the show, as I think it's becoming a lot more difficult in the sport, whether we're talking high school games, whether we're talking professional games, whether we're talking national team, whether we're talking club, wherever we're at. It's becoming a lot more difficult to judge control of matches based on things like possession, based on some of the outputs that you see, some of the statistics. It's becoming a game that is more defined by transitions. It's becoming a game that's more defined by momentum. And I think field position factors into that as well, but maybe that's a little bit of a side effect of the others. Momentum. Momentum is an interesting thing in this game because it's really hard to quantify, but it's so impactful. Inside of a match, but also inside of a season, how many times do you feel like you've seen a striker struggling to score goals? I feel like we talked about this earlier in the year with Yorgos Giakoumakis being handed a penalty by Thiago Almada to take, and he converted it, and then you started to see the goals come from Giakoumakis. Momentum happens for players in seasons. It happens for teams in seasons. Right now, the momentum for Atlanta United, you look back at the last four games, it's 3 draws and a loss. In some parts of the season, that might not feel as bad as it does, but the way these games went, it has a different feel. And right now, I think the Chicago game is, it felt like a team that could not generate positive momentum. The thing that they did that I was impressed with was in the game, in those moments where against Philadelphia and against Cincinnati, the game started to get away from you. The moments were going against you. The momentum was swinging against you. You couldn't stop it. The game got away from you and you lost results. You lost points. In Chicago, now, the Fire didn't play exceptionally well. But in those moments where the crowd started to get jacked up, in those moments where the team started to produce some opportunities, at least looks at goal. They didn't put a shot on goal, but looks at goal. Atlanta handled those moments of momentum going against them very well. I thought one thing that they did, and it seemed very intentional at the time, maybe it was instinct from the players, maybe it was something that they've worked on. I felt like they slowed the game down in those moments, kept possession a little bit longer, strung passes together in safe spots a little bit longer. Taking the air out of the game. It's a cliche we use a lot, right? But it's a cliche that has some value to it. So I feel good on the defensive end, how Atlanta handled momentum, but they need to get some momentum on the attacking end. They need a goal, because I feel like if you get a goal early against Minnesota, we've seen this happen so often at home, then you get a second, then you get more. This team needs some confidence in front of goal. They need some confidence in handling the moments in the match. That needs to happen starting on Saturday against Minnesota. And I know at times we overlook Open Cup games. The Open Cup game needs to have value to players who need to build confidence. And I look at a player like Tyler Wolfe, who he needs to go get goals in that Open Cup match. If he doesn't start on Saturday against Minnesota, he needs to start on Tuesday against Charlotte. He might start both. He's young. He's got energy, right? If he can get some goals going, I feel like he's a very different player. We saw that last year when the goals started to come for him in bunches. You need to get guys going, because I think it will be contagious with this group. We'll see, starting on Saturday against Minnesota, which will be a very difficult test. So let's get caught up on MLS as a whole on Atlanta Soccer tonight. I'm Jason Longshore. This is 92.9 The Game. You're also listening on the Odyssey app, or you're listening on the Off the Woodwork podcast. Make sure you subscribe. So, mentioned it before, Inter Miami, number one team in the Supporters Shield race, 21 points. They've won their last three. Real Salt Lake and the LA Galaxy and FC Cincinnati are all on 18 points, three back. The Galaxy lost over the weekend. Salt Lake's won two in a row. Cincinnati's won two in a row. Vancouver, Minnesota, and the Red Bulls are all on 17 points. Minnesota's won two in a row. The Red Bulls have drawn four of their last five. They are 4-1-5 on the season. A very difficult team to beat, but some of those draws might come back to bite them a little bit. Toronto has won two in a row. They are next in the table on 16 points. LAFC, Colorado, Austin, Columbus, all on 15. Columbus has drawn their last five in a row in the league. They are 3-1-6 at the moment. New York City on 14. Houston, Philadelphia, DC, all on 13. Atlanta, Montreal, St. Louis, all on 12. Charlotte on 11. Kansas City on 11. Portland and Chicago are on 10. Then you get into the single digits, and there's some surprises here. Seattle on 9, bit of a surprise, although they did win tonight. Orlando on 9, they lost over the weekend. Dallas on 8, that's a surprise. They did win over the weekend. Nashville on 8, they've only got one win this season. San Jose on 4, along with New England on 4. New England being on 4 points at the bottom of the table is an absolute surprise. They were shellacked by Miami at Gillette over the weekend. Columbus, they are in the middle of the pack right now in the overall table. They've got a little bit of a distraction there in the CONCACAF Champions League semifinal. They go to Monterrey tomorrow in Mexico. They have a 2-1 lead going into that. Is that going to be enough? I can't wait to see how Columbus plays this match. It's going to be a big test of Wilfred Nancy and his nerve. I don't think he changes anything about the way that they play. I don't think they're built to sit back. I don't think they're going there to sit back and park a bus and then go buy another bus and park it in front of the goal. I don't think they have that in them. I just don't. But are they good enough to hold their nerve against Rayados in that building, knowing that they have conceded the one away goal? So one goal for Rayados, a 1-0 win, because away goals do still count in CONCACAF. A 1-0 win for Monterrey is enough for them to go through. So that puts a lot of pressure on Columbus in this one. You look back to that last match, Maxi Meza was the one who leveled it in the 58th minute for Monterrey. Jason Russell Rowe got the winner in the match in the 72nd minute after Cucho Hernandez opened things up in the first half. Columbus has to be themselves in this game. And I think so often we've seen MLS teams in this moment go in and try to be defensive or try to be something else. Columbus needs to be themselves. They are very good at controlling matches, and they do that in such a way of, they do it with possession, but it's not purely possession about how they control it. They just break your will in the way that they're able to play keep away from you in large stretches. they make it very difficult to play through that middle. And the thing that they do that impresses me the most, the Columbus Crew, is they are unorthodox. Players have position profiles of where they play, where they like to play, where you typically see them. Wilfred Nancy throws that out the window. He moves players into spots that feels different, that feels off, it feels strange, but it works. Steven Marrera, Sean Zawadzki, prime examples in that. Columbus just has to be themselves and go to Monterey and win the match. I think they are absolutely capable. You have a stone-cold killer in front of goal in Cucho Hernandez, who is getting goals again, and you have a goalkeeper in Patrick Schulte, who is fearless. I hope Columbus goes to get it done. Monterey is such a good team. If they win, it's no shame to Columbus, but this would be a big deal for the league if the Crew can get it done. I went through that overall table in MLS. Three teams I wanted to shout out who there were some very loud cries about different things. Colorado, not really a cry about the manager because Chris Armas is brand new there, but slow start for them. A 2-1-1 April has pushed them higher up the table. Nick Cushing, and I wondered if time was up for Nick Cushing in New York City after a very slow start. 3-0-1 in April. And Josh Wolf in Austin. There were a lot of people talking about Josh Wolf in Austin. A lot of Austin fans over the years, even going back to year one, have been very down on Josh Wolf. Four wins in their last five games. Games like that, teams like that, talk about momentum again. You start to get a win. You then get that second win. A win turns into back-to-back, which can turn into a streak of good performances. That's where Atlanta United needs to get to. They have to build some momentum. It's felt like the results have been up and down. Like I said, I don't feel like they've matched the performances, the quality of the performances, but they're not stringing wins together. That's the next step for this team. A couple more points I wanted to make on MLS before we go to break. Lionel Messi. He's the GOAT. Like, just flat out. There's no other way around it. And he is the greatest player that the game has ever seen. Of course, he's the greatest player that MLS has ever seen. 9 goals and 7 assists in his first 7 games this season. That's borderline obscene what Messi is doing in this league right now. And he's done this in other leagues too, by the way. He has done this in Liga. He's done this in La Liga. He has done this with the Argentine national team. He is that guy. He is that good, and he's doing it now, yes, at the age that he is at, but he is doing this now in Miami. He is very happy. He is very comfortable, and that's a scary thing for the rest of the league. I do want to put an asterisk on Miami right now. I mentioned that they are the number one team in the Supporters Shield race. I do think their schedule will dramatically start to get more difficult here coming up pretty quickly. They host Red Bulls this weekend. They go to Montreal, which will not be an easy match after that. They go to Orlando in a pretty desperate game for Orlando. They get DC, who has shown a lot of quality. That's going to be in Fort Lauderdale. Long trip to Vancouver. Atlanta goes down there. They host St. Louis. Then it's Philadelphia. Then it's Columbus. Games get a little more difficult for Miami. We'll see how they handle it. And I also wanted to mention Stephen Fry. He was sent off on the weekend for Seattle in goal, and the disciplinary committee for MLS overturned that. That was a bit of a surprise. Was watching this red card on the bus getting to the airport in Chicago. Seattle appealed the red card, and the independent review panel, just to be specific, they overturned it. That's one rep from the U.S. Soccer Federation, one rep from the Canadian Soccer Association, and one independent rep nominated by the Professional Referee Organization. Unanimously rescinded it. I didn't feel like this was a controversial red card. It looked like a red card. It looked like denial of an obvious goal-scoring opportunity because Stephen Fry was nowhere near the ball. I don't think he's playing the ball. He reaches back, trips the player up. Seemed very clear to me. It was rescinded, and he was eligible to play tonight in their makeup game against Philadelphia, where the Sounders went on the road and got a big win. That feels like a little bit of an overreach from this independent review panel, and it calls into question kind of the back and forth with referees at this point. This didn't even feel like a surprise to me. So I'm not sure it's overturned. We'll see if this happens more often this season. Coming up next, the 3-4-3, three local stories, four headlines, three things that make me smile about this game. Next on 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/AcrossAmerica.
Up to four lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
It's time to wrap up tonight's show with the 3-4-3.
3-4-3.
Three local stories, four headlines from around the world, and three things that made you smile about the game.
Atlanta Soccer Tonight is on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Welcome back. Atlanta Soccer Tonight, live on 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app. It's time for the 3-4-3, brought to you by Ford. Visit your local Ford dealer. Three local stories, four headlines, three things that make me smile about the game that I love so much. Let's start on the local side. Number one, Atlanta United 2. Let's get caught up on the twos. They're at home on Friday in Kennesaw, where they will host New York City FC 2. And it comes at a really interesting time. The twos are in a really interesting spot just in general this week with that Open Cup game on Tuesday, with the injuries with Efrain Morales moving into the first team on Saturday night. That took him out of the second team match in Chicago on Sunday. Some shifting around. The twos lost in Chicago on Sunday. This was after beating the top team in the Eastern Conference, Chattanooga FC, last Wednesday in Kennesaw. So the twos have been very up and down. I can't wait to see what the lineup looks like on Friday, knowing that you're going to need some guys on the bench on Saturday and knowing that you're going to see some players potentially play on Tuesday. You could see players feature on Friday night for Atlanta United 2 to get them ready, game ready, for Tuesday in the Open Cup. The twos also play again on Wednesday of next week, and I have no idea what that team's going to look like in that match, because you might have twos players playing in the Open Cup game on Tuesday. It might look like a U17 or U19 game for the twos next week. But the twos, Friday night, New York City in Kennesaw. This is a team that if you get a chance to go and check them out, watch for guys like Luke Brennan, who I think has been playing well this season. He's trying to take that next jump to be a guy who can factor into the first team. Watch for guys like Javier Armas. Would not surprise me if Armas is part of the first team on Tuesday in the Open Cup. I think he's been that good this season. Noble Okello could feature into that. Ramzi Kouazmi has just signed with the twos, and he's had some very good performances for them straight away. And Matthew Edwards, who I think a lot of you have seen in preseason with Atlanta United's first team. Edwards has really shown that I think there's something there. I think there is an MLS career ahead of Matthew Edwards. This is a good year for him to get experience across quite a few positions. He's played left back. He's played center back. He's played right back. I think maybe fullback is going to be where he slots in at the next level. Going back to impact, he's got to continually improve his ability in the attacking half. I don't think he's been asked to do that a lot in his career. It's gotten better every time that I've seen him this season. That's what Atlanta United 2 is all about. All right, second spot on the 3-4-3 on the local side. Let's talk about the girls' matchups in the state semifinals around the state of Georgia. The most interesting game to me will be Thursday night, North Gwinnett at West Forsyth. The only remaining matchup in the state between two unbeaten teams. West Forsyth, number 2-7A, 19-0-2. North Gwinnett, 17-0-2, number 5 in the state. The winner of that will play the winner of Walton and Buford. Buford's number 1 in the state in 7A, 19-0-1. You could have a matchup of unbeatens in the 7A girls' final. 6A, it's going to be Lassiter against the defending state champions, Roswell on one side of the bracket, Marist and Johns Creek on the other side. 5A, Greater Atlanta Christian, they will go to Jefferson to face the undefeated Dragons, 17-0-1, 18-0-1 after yesterday's win. McIntosh will go on the road to Cambridge in the other semifinal in 5A girls. 4A, Lovett will travel to Cherokee Bluff on one side of the bracket. North Oconee pulled the upset. They will have to travel. They beat Stars Mill, who is the number 3 team in the state. North Oconee will have to go to the defending state champions, Westminster, the number 2 ranked team in 4A. 3A, it's Dawson County at the defending state champions, Oconee County on one side, Wesleyan at Columbus on the other. 2A, Ace Charter at Fellowship Christian, Model at Mount Perrin Christian. 1A, D2, Aquinas, they're the defending state champions. They will travel in the semifinal to Towns County, while Lake Oconee Academy will travel to Atlanta Classical. And 1A, D1, Social Circle, Peyton Brooks has over 50 goals this season. Social Circle will host Mount Vernon, who is the defending state champions in 1A, D1, while Atlanta International School will travel to the number 1 team in the state in 1A, D1, Paideia. That's your girls bracket. Let's talk about the boys. We don't have all of the scores that are reported. This is your number 3 on the 3-4-3. Boys quarterfinals tonight. Here's what we know. Campbell, they defeated the defending state champions in 7A. This was a night where defending state champions went down in the quarterfinals on the boys' side. Lambert defeated by Campbell. They will play the winner of Archer and Milton. Last report was Archer winning that one in overtime. We don't have a final yet. Discovery will host Kennesaw Mountain in the other 7A semifinal. Glen Academy, they will host Sprayberry in one 6A semifinal. While North Atlanta pulled the biggest upset of the night, they beat number 2 Johns Creek, who was 18-0-1 coming into it. North Atlanta will travel to number 1 in 6A and number 1 in all classifications, according to the coaches' poll, River Ridge. That's on Friday night. In 5A, Midtown, they defeated my beloved Eagles Landing by a wide margin. Midtown will travel to Peachtree City to face McIntosh. McIntosh, 21-0. They beat Dalton 1-0 tonight in Peachtree City. We were here for that game with our Soccer Down Here network. It was a great match, and the Chiefs were so composed in getting this win against another defending state champion in Dalton. McIntosh has beat Dalton the last 3 times they've seen the Catamounts. Tucker and Cass, I don't have a score update on that one. The winner of that will host Decatur, a number 4 seed out of the region. Decatur has won 3 games on the road in the state tournament. They upset Chattahoochee tonight. 4A, Northwest Whitfield, they will travel to Gainesville to face Johnson, the defending state champions, who did win tonight. Holy Innocents will travel to face Westminster. Bremen in 3A, they will travel to face Hebron Christian, while Oconee County, the number 1 team in 3A, will travel to Columbus, who upset a defending state champion in Cahulla Creek. 2A, Fellowship Christian, they will travel to Toombs County to face them, the number 2 team in the state, while the number 1 team in the state, Model, they will host Providence Christian, who beat Jeff Davis in penalties. 1AD2, Atlanta Classical, they'll travel to Atkinson County, while GMC will travel to a defending state champion that did win, Christian Heritage. And 1AD1, we don't have an update on East Lawrence and Paideia. The winner of that will host Mount Vernon, while on the other side of the bracket, Whitfield Academy, a number 4 team out of the region, they will travel to face Atlanta International School. Girls semifinals are on Thursday. Boys semifinals are on Friday. We will have games on the SDH network, and we'll keep you updated on all of that as we go. Make sure you're following us at Soccer Down Here for our schedule. Quickly, 4 headlines from around the world. Number 1, U.S. Soccer and the Mexican Federation pulled back on their bid for the Women's World Cup. They've delayed that to 2031. Now, part of this bid, it is a historic first, according to the U.S. Soccer Federation. It will call for equal investment as the men's tournament, eliminating investment disparities to fully maximize the commercial potential of the women's tournament. I think buying themselves a little extra time to do that is a very smart thing. U.S. Soccer is in the midst of building their first national training center. They're in the midst of preparing to host a Men's World Cup in 2026. Rushing a Women's World Cup in 27 when you could take four more years and make it better and bigger and reach that level of the same investment, that's a smart move. It was something that I thought might happen. I actually asked Cindy Parlow-Cohn about this and JT Batson when they were here visiting Mercedes-Benz Stadium to announce the bid. They said they were fully focused on 27, and I'm sure that they were. 31 makes a little more sense. So that the U.S. and Mexico bid will go for 31. 27 will either go to Brazil or a joint bid between Belgium, the Netherlands, and Germany. Number two on the headlines, the Champions League semifinals this week. Game one today was a doozy between Bayern Munich and Real Madrid. Bayern was by far the better team in the first 45. Real Madrid was by far the better team in the first 45. Sorry. Bayern made some adjustments and they were outstanding early in the second half. Two quick goals. They take a 2-1 lead. It looks like Munich is going to get the win at home. And then Real Madrid gets a penalty and Vinicius Jr. puts it away for his second goal of the day. So talking about momentum, right? It feels like Real Madrid with that result, even though away goals don't matter in the UEFA Champions League, now it's just a 90-minute knockout in Madrid. Feels like Madrid's got the momentum. You'd have to consider them the favorites. The other side, Borussia Dortmund is at home in the first leg against PSG. Wouldn't it be crazy if after all of the departures from PSG and Luis Enrique going in there and people have been kind of tepid on Luis Enrique, if this is the year that PSG wins the Champions League, they're favored, in my opinion, against Borussia Dortmund. How they manage this first leg will be the key. That game's tomorrow at 3:00. Number three on the headlines here on the 3-4-3. Also, this is Atlanta Soccer Tonight. Y'all know how we wrap this show up now. It's the 3-4-3. I'm Jason Longshore. The 3-4-3 is, as always, brought to you by Ford. Number three is an interesting one that I am excited to see where this goes. Thief Pro, which is a player representative agency, the Global Players Union, Thief Pro, they are working with Nike and a number of other partners to create Project ACL. This was launched today, and it is done with the hopes of reducing ACL injuries in the women's game. A lot of women's players have called for more research into why women's soccer players are between 2 and 6 times more likely to suffer ACL tears than men. There's been a lot of speculation. There's been a lot of different, you know, questions about it and speculation about it. Why is the question? And now they're actually going to invest and study into it. According to a UEFA study, a 23-player squad can expect to see 3 ACL injuries over 4 years in the women's game. Can that be stopped? This is a really good study that Thief Pro and Nike and others are undertaking, and I'm excited to see what we learn from it, because this kind of research has been definitely needed when we get into this side of things. I don't know why it hasn't happened up until now, and it should have happened sooner. It's just very frustrating that we haven't gotten to this point on the women's game to try to determine why this is the case. Number four on the headlines, kind of a crazy situation where a former player at Port Vale, he has earned the Player Haters Award of the Year because this guy, he's taken his grudge against Port Vale to new heights, literally. Ryan Burge, former midfielder for Port Vale, he flew a plane over the team stadium on the weekend mocking that they were getting relegated to the fourth tier. So to do this, he had to learn how to fly a plane. He got a pilot's license to do this. he had tried to be the manager of the team. He didn't get it. He was a big part of Port Vale getting promoted to League One about 10 years ago, got suspended, criticized the manager, ended up getting pushed out the door, and now went to the lengths of earning a flight certificate to be able to fly a plane to mock his former club. Welcome to English soccer. All right, three things that make me smile about the game quickly to wrap up Atlanta soccer tonight. Number one, we were in Jefferson, Georgia last night for the girls' quarterfinal between the Dragons and the Vikings of Northgate. Cowbells in the stands, just amazing. I would love to see more parts of the world embrace cowbells in the stands. It was a great atmosphere in Jefferson. Thank you to everybody at Jefferson High School for hosting us. Number two, the latest GA100 mini pitch was unveiled in Canton, Georgia, and it was very cool to get to hear about it when I was up there last week, which leads me to number three, so they're kind of intertwined. I got a chance to speak last week at the Georgia Impact season-ending banquet, and it was an amazing experience to talk to a group of players, to talk to a group of parents, coaches, about the game and why it's important for all of us who love this game so much to give back. Giving back to something that we love is very, very important. If you love this game and you have gained from it, I have. It's given me my career. It's given me friendships. It's given me, confidence. It's given me everything. It's imperative for me to give that back and pay that forward. And I think that makes you a good teammate to the game. And that was kind of the theme of my conversation at the banquet, was being a good teammate. That goes a lot further. So hopefully, just getting the opportunity to do that was very, very rewarding. And big thanks to Georgia Impact. Big thanks to them for working with Atlanta United to get this mini pitch done. Give back to something that you love. If you love this sport as much as I do, as much as I try to share with you every week, give back in whatever way you can to the game. Spread the word. Bring new fans out. Hopefully, bring some on Saturday to Atlanta United and Minnesota United. Our broadcast will start at 6:30. Kickoff will be at 7:40. You can listen on 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app. I'll be back next week after the Open Cup game with a very abbreviated Atlanta soccer tonight. You can listen to that on 92.9 The Game as well. Thanks for hanging out with me tonight. Adios, everybody.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/AcrossAmerica.
Up to four lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.